was looking at Acts, and in Acts 3:6, part of the verse says, "But what do I have?" But today is our annual meeting, and in many ways, this is, the Lord just, I guess, we're taking an inventory in a way. What do we have? Because in there, if I don't have anything, I can't give anything. But we also have to believe we have something. And so, as Bev comes up, she's going to read a story to the kids. So the kids, if you want to come on up while Bev comes up, it sometimes takes her a couple more minutes, but we've been praying for her, and she's getting faster every day. There's just no doubt about it. Yeah, she will. That's all right. But she's going to read a story about grace, and grace is one of those beautiful things that we have to give to others. So I'll just let her go ahead and read.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody. I've been AWOL a little bit because I got an echo. What's that mean? I need to stand back? Okay. How far? Keep going? There? Okay. Can you come over here by me? Okay. Nolan, thank you. We're going to talk about grace today. Does anybody know off the top of their head what grace is? Anybody from the elder group? Oh, you know what grace is, Josie? Okay, you tell me.
I'm sorry, my ears are out. Kindness and loving.
Kindness and loving? You have it, girl. Kindness and loving. That is absolutely right. So we're talking about his grace is enough. Whose grace is enough? Don's? Whose? Jesus's. That's right. Jesus is always the answer. Years ago, I had a Sunday school class at the old church, and there was one little boy, and he knew every single answer, and it was always Jesus. And he was right. Okay, so we got to hold it up a little bit high, so maybe some of these people, if you use your binoculars, you can see these. Okie dokie? Okay. This one says, "You're hiding from me and look so upset. Did you do something wrong that you now regret?" Who do you think is hiding? Yeah, Josie? Who's hiding? The kitty? The kitty and who else? And the girl, what did she do wrong? Yeah, Josie? She colored on the wall. I hope it was erasable markers. Her mommy is wondering what's going on because she's probably kind of quiet, right? Okay, we'll turn the page. And this says, what do you see back here? What's that called? A garden house or a greenhouse, that's right. And what's the little boy got there in his hand? Tennis racket. Where's the tennis ball? On the road. And what do you suppose those windows were made out of? Plastic? Glass. Yeah, it went in and then it rolled out. What's he got on top of his head? What kind of a hat? A bucket hat or maybe a flower pot. That's an odd hat. It says here, don't run away. Come sit over here. Let's talk together. You've nothing to fear. And this one says, I've something important to tell you today. It's true. Whose truth? Who's true? What's true? Bennett. God is true. And what about his book? The Bible? It's all true, isn't it? It's true and it's hopeful. Does the Bible give us hope? Absolutely. And helps guide your way. Thank you for helping me. And then at the bottom it says, God's grace is enough. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough, both for you and for me. Thank you for turning the page. If you make a big mess, oh my goodness, what did they do this time? Right there, what did they do? Yeah, Josie. Yeah, they got a big, dirty dirt mess, didn't they? That's kind of fun, but messy. Or tell a small lie. Have any of you ever lied? You can just hold up one finger and it's true. Yeah, me too. Me too. Sometimes they used to call that a white lie, but it's still a lie, isn't it? Whoops, did you hold up one finger? He's smiling. Maybe he did. If you're lazy, none of you guys are lazy, are you? Nope. If you're lazy and don't even try. Well, this guy looks like he's having fun picking up toys. He's laying on the floor and studying them to figure out where to put it, right? If you get fiery and mad, you guys don't get mad, do you? Ever? I think we got a lot of ones again. One. And hit someone hard. Oh no, that's not a good thing, is it? Or cheat a good friend as you play in the yard. Let's see. If you steal someone's toy or say something mean, what can you do to make yourself clean? Do they think you should go take a bath? If you played in the dirt, maybe, right? Making yourself clean means your heart clean, too. What would you do then? We'll find out. Okay? Oh, man, I better switch sides. I don't have as big a muscles as Nolan does. My arm's getting tired. Here we go. Running and hiding away from the light, will that be enough to make it all right? No. Who in the Bible ran away? Remember? Has to do with a big fish. Jonah, you bet. I'll tell you again, for you need to know, never forget this, wherever you go. God's grace is enough. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough, both for you and for me. Okay, let's see what's next. You might try to hide by doing what's good, trying to fix it, if only you could. She's working really hard, isn't she, to try and make things right. You clean the whole house and work super hard and take out the trash and mow the front yard. Must be going to leave the backyard long. Make straight A's in school and never complain. Not even when lunch is soaked in the rain. You try and you try, you try hard as you might. Will that be enough to make it right? My child, here's the truth. From God, you can't hide. Does God see everything we do? Mm-hmm. He knows everything. He sees what you've done. He knows what's inside. He knows what's inside our hearts, doesn't he? And even knows what we think about. But please don't despair. There's good news, I say. Whatever you do, God's grace, his kindness and his love, right, Josie, makes a way. Yes, his grace is big. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough, both for you and for me. Here's how it works. Jesus died on the cross, and we get a new life when we ask him in our heart, don't we? because he suffered loss, though we don't deserve it. Do we deserve for Jesus all that Jesus did for us? No, we don't, do we? But God is so kind. That's grace, pure and simple. The best thing to find. So just say you're sorry. It's amazing, you see. He paid the full price. And now it is free. Whoops. Thanks, Noah. Whoa, look at that mess. It's not free, so we can sin more and more. He doesn't want that. He wants us free to live free and to do it for him. Believing in Jesus, he gives a new heart and forgives all our sin so new life can start. So there's no need to hide and there's no need to run. Now you can serve him. Who's him? God. With gladness and fun. I love you so much. I want you to know, cling to this truth wherever you go. His grace, who's his? God, is enough. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough to change you and to change me. Thank you. Now I have something for you guys. These are cards, and it says blessings of grace. So you can each pick one, and God will probably give you the one that he wants you to have. And you can have those forever, okay? And thank you for coming and listening.
Well, the kids go back to the street. Just yesterday, I had with Gather 25 on Friday night and here, but of course, we were here for 4 hours, but that went 25 hours all around the world. And yesterday, while I was praying and preparing or finishing up things for the sermon today, I just listened. And one of the neat things is, well, I got to listen to Western Europe, they used English, and I listened to Uganda, and because they use English, and anyway, it was just fun. It was just a nice thing. But one of the neat things that, who do you suppose is the greatest influencer of Generation Z in the United Kingdom? Now, in 1923, my father was born. No, 2023, when they asked Gen Zers who their greatest influencer was, 21% mentioned Jesus. Last year, in 2024, it was, if I remember correctly, it was in the 40s, but I believe they said 47% said Jesus Christ. But the people that did the survey did not mention Jesus as the greatest influencer. They took the second place person. But it's interesting. The neat thing is to see this, and in this, I mean, it's just one of those small little snippets, but one of the things that blessed me yesterday is the kingdom is growing tremendously. Now, I'm going to start out in Acts 3, and Acts is, for those of you getting familiar with the Bible, Jesus is now gone. He's ascended to heaven. He ascends in the first chapter, but it's the beginning of the church. And the carrying out of the Great Commission, which is really what Gather represented, is the fact that, they mentioned 2.5 billion Christians in the world. Now, that isn't the entire world, but the Bible never says that everyone will become a Christian, but that the goal is his heart is for them all, and that someone from every tribe and nation, people from every tribe and nation will be there. That was the Jewish example from the beginning in Genesis. But now, Lord, let the words of my heart and the meditations of my heart Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. Now, like I said, my emphasis here today is just simply, what do we have? Because we need to be, hey, go ahead and go to the next slide. We've dealt with this one. Grace is one of those beautiful things that we have. What don't we have? Because all of verse 6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. Now the nice thing is we can only give what we have. And Peter and John was with him at the time. They didn't have silver or gold, which would have been their money at that time. Or they didn't mention copper. Maybe they did have some copper. But it's not, first of all, we need to know that it's not possible to give what we don't have. So we don't have to worry about what we don't have. Because our strength comes from what we do have. And we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you don't have him, please let him into your heart. And we'll help you in any way we can. As he wants to be there. God has promised to give us all that we need and more. So we are assured that we will always have something to give in every circumstance. And that's something that we need to keep in mind. We also have things within us that we should not give. And we want to keep that in mind also. Because sometimes we give of the things that we shouldn't. Bev will tell me what we're going to do that day, and I said, that wasn't what I planned. And there it is. I gave her something that I shouldn't. I mean, I could have thought about it a little bit more. But we sometimes give things we shouldn't. Going now to the next one. One day, Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Now, given the history that's right here, this man would have had to have been in the temple at some time when Jesus had been there. Jesus healed a lot of people, but he didn't heal this person for some reason. Jesus saved some things for his followers, disciples, to do. We have the Great Commission. We have plenty to do. Jesus wants us participating with him, and he will work through us with his Spirit to get the things accomplished that he wants because he wants us with him. And that's one of the things we really want to take to heart and gain our comfort, because there's times when life isn't comfortable. But knowing that Jesus is there with us can give us that strength. And that's why we want to know the things that we have. Okay, go ahead and go to the next. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. The man was expecting. He was ready to receive. Now, one of the things, we sometimes don't believe it, but people go places because they expect something. He was brought to the temple because he was expecting, and it was also expected of him. Our workplaces, where we go to recreate and so forth, we have an expectation of those places. So don't ever get this idea that people in your life don't have an expectation of the place where they are at, and even from us, because we're there with them. And so it's just one of those things, know that people are expecting. Now, they aren't always expecting what we have to give and what we want to give, but There are lots of needs, and we don't always recognize our own needs. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. This could well have been the first time that this man entered into the temple courts. Now, the neat thing about today, the temple that he walked into that day does not exist today. It was torn down in 70 AD by the Romans and by, but it was torn down. Do you not know, this is from 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, and it's not in there, so you don't have to change the slide. I added this afterwards, but do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. We, because the temple of the Holy Spirit is with us, can take people into the temple or into the presence of the temple simply by being together. The Holy Spirit is here. Looking around and seeing all of you here, this is the temple of God, not because of the building, but because you are here, because we are here. And that's sometimes something, it's one of those things that we have that we don't think about. But that's why we need to take inventory every now and again. It's a powerful thing to know that we can always be in the presence of God. We as Christians have better things to give than money. Having money can often cause more problems than it solves. So be careful how and where you give it. And once it's given, it is no longer yours. No strings should be attached. And that doesn't only apply to money. But the thing is, it's one of those things we need to think about and remember about gifts. Once they're given, they are no longer ours. But the nice thing is the gifts from God are ours, and when we are used to give them to someone else, the neat thing about God, he goes with that gift. We don't always go with some of the gifts that we give, and sometimes people would rather we didn't. But again, that's the world we live in. Is there anything that bothers you about what's on the screen right now? Give you a second. Now, part of what's on the screen is not scripture. I'll just leave that. It's just one of these things we're learning about scripture, so I just thought I should do it. I saw a little teaching moment here. Go ahead and go to the next screen. God healed a lame beggar. Now, the title that was added later to the scriptures in this edition says, Peter heals a lame beggar. Now, Peter was used to heal this man, but God did the healing. Now, even when you're reading scripture, and because of the technologies of today, and because we have 100 different translations, the beautiful thing is God preserves his word. And we've been given his word. And he preserves it. But there are things which we don't want to be confused about. This title, there's really not that much wrong with the title. I mean, there was very thoughtful people that put it there. Because Peter was involved in the healing. Just as we are involved in the things that God does through us. It's one of those neat things. But we do want to keep in mind that God does the healing. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple called Beautiful, and there at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. God desires a response to the things we give in his name. Notice that people were filled with wonder and amazement, honoring and glorifying God. We must always remember God does the work and receives the glory. We obediently give what he has first given us. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Peter saw this. He said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power and godliness we have made this man walk?" Giving opens doors and opportunities. Abraham, or Peter, had an opportunity to preach and to reach people. You can go ahead and skip the next slide and go right to slide 9. Now this is Acts 3:16. What do we have? "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus, name and the faith that comes through him that completely healed this man." What do we have? We have Jesus and we have faith. And his sermon is not the important thing at this point. And so that's why this is part of his sermon, emphasizing what Jesus had done for that man. What do we have? We have flesh. From Galatians 5, "You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissenting, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." We have things naturally by man's disobedience and our disobedience, where we are included in that, that we often give that we should not give. Now these are descriptions, but recognize that there is a conflict within us. Our flesh is always conflicting with the spirit. And even as in strong believers, that conflict continues. But with the spirit's help, it can be diminished. And so during this time period, it's the Spirit's help that we really desire. Jesus is at the throne of God interceding for us. He's our high priest at this time. And that's, again, that's another sermon. But the Holy Spirit is with us. And that's why the conflict is between our flesh and the Spirit. What do we have? The fruit of the Spirit. Also from Galatians 5. "So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now this is not telling us to be disobedient because we're not under the law. But with the Spirit, we will not disobey the law, at least the law of God. Because laws can be made by man that are not appropriately made. But through salvation, believing that Jesus' death paid the price for our disobedience, sin, and the hope we have in his resurrection, we have the Spirit within us. We need to learn to walk with the Spirit so that the fruit of the Spirit will be evidenced, given through our lives, and to desire the Holy Spirit, the baptism. And again, not going to go into that other than know that it's available. We have the Spirit at salvation, but the Spirit wants more of us. We aren't any more saved, but we are certainly, if we yield ourselves to the Spirit, more useful. I don't know if that's a true, but the thing is, we're useful one way or the other. God's will be done. What do we have? Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. What do we have? God's Word. From Timothy, 2 Timothy. You have known the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for the salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All the Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He just simply is reiterating and encouraging Timothy and us of the value that's in the Word. Get, grow, and stay in the Word. It truly is living and active, God-breathed. What do we have? We have a mind. The weapons we fight with, this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our disobedience is complete. Allow the Word and the Spirit to help you take every thought captive. Duh, Wayne. Before you speak, avoid thinking out loud. It can be a bad habit. I've learned it the hard way. You can learn from me. Hopefully I will continue to learn. That's why we have a mind. Continuing with the mind from Philippians. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything that is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Train by listening to and praying in the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. As you're reading the Word, listening yesterday, it was just a beautiful thing. The Spirit is working throughout the world. It's just neat to see how the Great Commission is coming about. It's a wonderful thing, but it's also, for many, it will not be an easy thing. He gives us peace. Again, we can have peace in troubled times. What do we have? Enemies. From 1 Peter, be alert and so of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You have someone that's trying to destroy your life, and especially your relationship with Christ. He's not someone that we can defeat on our own. He's more intelligent and powerful than any man that's ever lived except Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is still living, and that's wonderful. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We don't know exactly how the heavenly realms are connected to the earthly realms, but they are connected. When we fell, we lost that relationship so that we could even see it, although some have that ability. From what do we have? The armor of God, Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We are given protection. Continuing, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I repeated this just simply because we need to keep that in mind. When we are dealing with other people, no matter how angry you are, or how angry they are, or how whatever the circumstances are, they are not the enemy. The neat thing about Christianity is we die so that others may live. Jesus died for us, and he had the power to raise again. But if I can give my life so that someone else can live in Christ, it's well worth it. Because I'm safe. Death is not something I need to fear. Another gift that we've been given. We do not need to fear. Now, we do need to be afraid. I mean, we need to be conscious. We need to be afraid of the power of God, but we also and the judgment of God. But the nice thing is Jesus has freed us from that. And we are here to free others. Through us, God can do that. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you have done everything to stand. We've been given the ability to stand. Isn't that nice? We can stand. We can't all run yet, but we can stand. I've stopped running quite a while ago, and they told me when I went to the doctor once, he says, "Do you run?" I says, "Well, I try to walk a few miles every day." And he says, and since he says, "You're over 60, don't start running. Just keep walking." He said, you might hurt yourself if you try to run, if you haven't run for a few years. Anyway, that was good advice. I took it. Let's see. All right. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted and the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Notice you are still standing. Your only offensive weapon is the word of God. The only thing that needs to move to use the word of God is to speak. Or actually, to show it to them. Let them read it. It works. We don't have to charge in. Continuing, this part is sometimes left out of this. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. All kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, this is Paul speaking again, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in chains. Notice he's in prison now. Pray that I may declare fearlessly as I should. Praying is the supply line, the reinforcements, the radio asking for the artillery, the bombers, helicopters, etc. It's our communication with a powerful God that has many angels at his command to serve and to protect us in ways that we could never do it ourselves. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Also, the prayer is the place, it's the source of peace and calm in troubled times. If we have received peace, we can give it to others. And prayer, it's amazing how prayer can bring you to peace, especially praying in the Spirit. I don't know how many times I've been in a place where I'm afraid and I've been able to just simply, even in my mind, just pray in the Spirit. And it's amazing how it will change your countenance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What do we have? Joy, prayer, thanksgiving. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared." Good advice. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Rejoice always. From Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Know and experience the relationship between gratitude, prayer, and joy. Again, gratitude can change if you just simply sit down and say, "Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for Bev. Thank you for even though you might have just had a fight, just remind yourself to thank God for the people he's put in your life because he knew what he was doing. You may not have, but you do, but he did. And that's the beautiful thing about relationships with other people. God put us together. What do we have? Hope, Romans 15. And again, Isaiah said, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Again, hope is a beautiful gift, and it's surrounded by joy and peace. What do we have? Again, back to prayer. From James, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Now God told him to pray that it wouldn't rain because it was a demonstration of God's power. And so we do need to be careful. There are times when God sends things to get people's attention. Prayer and faith are always connected. Go ahead and skip to the last slide. What do we have? The peace of God. Again, joy, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let the gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Pray. The annual meeting will start shortly. Spend some time praying with your family and friends. We're all family, but just pray. Thank God for the gifts he's given us, for the strength that we have in him. We want to just mention that we've been blessed with 3 new members this year. Just going to acknowledge Jaden Duenas, Phyllis Tracy, and Jeff Smith. Just love to have them aboard. If you are interested in becoming a member, just let us know. We also want to celebrate with Maria today, as she was baptized this morning in Sioux City. She usually sits in the back. If you don't know who she is, she was the girl that, she flies airplanes now. Anyway, that's all right. But anyway, pray. Spend a little time praying with each other, and we'll start the meeting.